Ever since she was little, when her parents had first explained to her that the medieval myths of Tempus Draconis weren't just fanciful cultural metaphors, as was widely accepted by modern scholars, Eden had felt like there was a shadow lurking at her back, a shadow that was somehow both ephemeral and weighty, both terrifying and comforting. She wasn't sure if she believed in fate or chance or divine calling, but something had put her on Earth in this time and place, the daughter of a legendary family of dragon slayers. That shadow was her constant companion, a sense of dread, a reminder that she was one of the few bastions protecting humanity from dragonkind, a promise that every bruise and burn, every drop of sweat and blood, was leading her closer to her destiny. And that was why on days like this, when nothing went right and her little sister was driving her up a wall, Eden wouldn't let herself lose perspective. So what if Danny effortlessly achieved every benchmark that Eden had to fight tooth and nail for? So what if Danny could casually dismantle the importance of all their training? So what if Danny could waltz in at 17 and conquer El Toro like it was no more dangerous than a toaster? So what? Eden straightened up and walked toward her father, determinedly maintaining her strict posture despite the agony in her shoulder and the sting where the whip had caught her across her abdomen. James Rivera was a Scottish expat who had married into the Rivera family and, as per tradition, taken the name when he was barely a year out of university. Though he looked more like an absent-minded professor with his messy blonde hair, tortoiseshell eyeglasses, and perpetual ink stains, he'd proven a good match for Annalisa, who had already distinguished herself in the limited Dragonslayer circles by the time she was a teenager. While his fighting skills were middling at best, there was no one who could track a dragon faster and pinpoint its location more accurately than James Rivera. Not that there were many dragons left to hunt these days. Her father looked her over, his arms crossed, his brows furrowed. She knew that look, though it was usually directed at Danny, not her. That nebulous line between anger and worry. "It was my idea," she said, not bothering with excuses. "I told Danny it was okay." She was going to be in trouble anyway, and there was no reason for Danny to miss her big bonfire. She hadn't shut up about it for weeks. Her sister shot her a surprised look, which Eden ignored. James watched her steadily, and she could practically see the gears turning in his head while he decided how to respond. Where her mother lived on impulse and instinct, her father was a thinker, weighing every decision with care. The balance was one of the reasons they worked so well together, both in dragon hunting and in marriage. "Danny, go back to the house," he said finally. "Your mother wants you to do some chores before you leave for the party. Eden and I will clean up here." Danny looked like she wanted to argue, but Eden shot her a harsh look and she shut her mouth. She scooped up her socks and shoes and headed for the door without even putting them on. When she reached the threshold, James called after her, and she turned back. "Did you go first?" he asked. Danny nodded wearily. "What was your time?" 2 minutes, 6 seconds. She was smart enough not to sound smug about it. He waved her off, and she left. Eden caught a glimpse of a suppressed smile as her dad turned back. She pushed down the hard knot that had formed in her chest and craned her neck to examine her shoulder for the first time. The skin was red and blistered, but there wasn't any muscle visible. And it hurt like hell, so the nerves hadn't been damaged. "What were you thinking?" her father asked, after a long, uncomfortable silence. He grabbed her mostly full water bottle from the floor and wetted a clean gym towel. "Is that a rhetorical question?" She caught the towel when he tossed it to her. Biting her lip against the pain, she draped it carefully over her shoulder to start cooling the burn. "I suppose it is." He still had a faint Scottish brogue, which became more pronounced when he was upset. He went to the cabinet where the first aid supplies were stored and pulled out a bottle of antibiotic ointment and a roll of gauze. He came back to her side and gently peeled back the corner of the towel to survey the damage. Eden bit her lip harder. This wasn't her worst training injury, but it was definitely in the top 5. "I'm sorry," she said, when the continued silence became too hard to bear. I know it was stupid. More silence. She clenched her hands into fists to stop them from fidgeting. Finally, her dad sighed. Your mother and I will be discussing supervision during training from now on, he said, though not harshly. And I have half a mind not to let you join us for dinner tonight.